Hey Veeam Community Podcast listeners, it's on. VeeamON 2015 has been announced and will be returning to Las Vegas. VeeamON 2015 will be held October 26th through the 29th at the Aria Resort Hotel and Casino. Like last year, the Veeam CE course will be offered at a discount, but this year it will be held before the event. VeeamON is the event dedicated to data center availability, and this year's event will be even bigger and better than before. You don't want to miss it. Want to find out more? Check out go.veeam.com/veeamon and pre-register. That way you'll be the first to know when early bird pricing is available and stay up to date on all the latest for VeeamON 2015. Also be sure to like the VeeamON Facebook page. We'll see you in Vegas.
A couple of VMware hosts, a couple of Hyper-V hosts. Now I've got a number of different virtual machines on both. I need to move the data up to the service provider cloud. How exactly does that work?
Rick, it's really simple, but there's several things that take place. We have compression, we have deduplication, so you have a few options, so we're going to have to dig in a little bit. Tell me more about your environment.
Oh man, forget it. I'm just going to the whiteboard. Folks, you can do this too. Go to veeam.com/whiteboard. You can see Jose, his awesome show, his occasional awesome guests like myself. You can learn a lot. Check it out. Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 106, doing the community thing, but staying technical. Here we go. Today, my guest, and Angelo, help me if I get this right, Angelo Luciani. Is that pronounced right, or is it Luciani? I don't know.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you got it. Luciani.
Luciani. All right, there we go. So, hey guys, if you've not bumped into Angelo on Twitter, this guy is good stuff. That's my favorite word. And Angelo, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. First, thanks for having me on the podcast, Rick. I really appreciate it. Second, thanks for the kind words. For those that don't know me, my name's Angelo Luciani. You can follow me on Twitter at Angelo Luciani. I'm a community specialist at Nutanix, and I basically try to help connect the dots for folks when, you know, looking for material, wanting to get exposure to the technology, things like that in general. So that's me.
Yeah. And, you know, Angelo and I bumped into each other. What was it, 3 weeks ago now? It was late February.
That's right.
Or early March. No, it was actually like the second or third. I can't remember.
February 26th.
Oh, that's right. It was at the TO VMUG, the Toronto, Ontario VMUG, and now I should say UserCon, a super UserCon. They pulled in over 500 people. Excellent job there. And, you know, I haven't seen Angelo, I think, since VMworld maybe, but you know, in his new role as, you know, community stuff at Nutanix, him and I were talking. And if, and friends, listeners to the podcast, if you've ever bumped into me, I'm brutally honest sometimes. Maybe too honest. But anyways, I went on and I said, you know, Angelo, one of my biggest concerns is staying technical in this space because I'm not, well, I kind of am a little bit of a lab here, but I mean, it's, I don't have a huge VMware or Hyper-V infrastructure that I support every day and get paged on. I have a new role at Veeam, kind of a secondary title of community manager. And, you know, I'm not touching infrastructure as much as I was 4 years ago. And I'm personally worried about staying technical, and Angelo shared a lot of that with me, and especially as we go through these big milestones. You know, vSphere 6 is out. We're going to see soon a new version of Windows and Hyper-V, and who knows what's going on in storage, right? So, Angelo, you know, when we kind of united on that, doing the community thing, but staying technical, you know, if you have this community role, it's a pretty serious concern, eh?
Yeah, I share all your same opinions, Rick. You know, one of the biggest challenges in a community role, and because I like to think we're very broad in what we do, it's just staying up to date, up to speed on the latest technology. I mean, you know, VMware releases vSphere 6. In the past, you know, you or I may have been on top of the betas, been on top of readmes, etc., digging through those documents to, you know, get a good feel for the product, and download the bits when they go GA. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the real challenge. It's staying technical enough so that you can speak to your community, at the same time, you know, having those technical skills so that you feel like you can make a contribution technically. That's one of the things I've tried to continue to do, continue to read up on the latest documents, download the latest betas. You know, I have a lab on my MacBook Pro, as well as a standalone lab, a couple PC servers, where I do my best to install the latest software and give it a run, just so I can have those discussions within the community about the technology and help answer any questions that I can. Mm-hmm. You know, when you step away from sort of the enterprise, if you will, day to day, you feel like you lose touch, but it's the onus is really up to us, Rick, to keep our feet in the water and to keep plugging away with the software and the betas and those types of things. So it's really important to stay involved.
It is important because, you know, what we do as community people, and, you know, friends, every brand has community now, right? And community isn't just virtualization, isn't just storage and all these other segments of a data center or other technologies for that matter. But the community bit is important. Everything is, you know, could be as simple as just Twitter. It could be more as advanced as awesome podcasts like this or more. But the moment you get into community, you're dealing with people. You're on the outside, in-person events, social media, the blogosphere, mm-hmm. the like. You have to be able to have the conversation with people at all levels. So it's really difficult. And the lab that I use is I'm kind of lucky because I'm in a proper office here at Veeam. I share a fairly large lab with our tech support team. And I don't want to say co-administer, but co-have my fingers in with full permissions might be the better way to describe it. But that's good, you know, and honestly, our tech support lab is kind of a funny one, right? Because they do bad stuff, right? They have to break stuff. They have to reproduce potential errors and bizarre configurations. You wouldn't even know what the people do sometimes. But anyways, so I have my hands dirty there, and I sometimes get involved with labs for like major events and the like, and I love that. But you know, it's tough to balance it all, and you know, the questions that come in on Twitter, I jump into some forums and I do webinars. The questions people ask there, very few times do I get stumped. But what I find myself as a community person, the hardest thing would be I'm actually no value, like in the sales process. Do not bring me in for like a proof of concept or something, because I that's just not my thing. That's not what I'm good at. I'm good at talking about like design, like, you know, well, if you put this here and make this run that way, then things will start looking like this. And people like those types of conversations. They love basically having options, because the problem is a lot of times I talk to people and they're doing it one way. And it's not necessarily bad. It's not like a sign of what I call entrenchment or anything like that. But, you know, that's the equipment they have. You know, maybe at the, let's say it's a VMware conversation, right? In VMware 4 era, that was the way to do it.
Right.
But now things are different. And, well, especially because usually in my case, it revolves around Veeam. And I'm like, well, if you put this over here, you know, your restores and backups can do that. I'll be flipping around to you a little bit. Do you see a lot of people really struggling? And I ask you this question, let me back up a little bit. I think the biggest hard part of the data center today is what to do or how to use or how much to use or how to prioritize or how to balance non-rotational storage. whether it be flash, SSD, tiering, whatever. Do you find, you know, I know that, you know, what you do at Nutanix, of course, definitely helps with that. But do you find people just not knowing about all the options of this category of non-rotational storage? Do you ever kind of have to bring them up to the modern era and explain that to them?
Yeah, I think, Rick, and I think there's a good understanding out there of that at the moment. But there, you know, there are, you know, little nuggets of folks where you do need to make them aware of that. Mm-hmm. I don't come across that as often as maybe I expect to, mm-hmm. which is interesting. But if I could just go back to one thing, I find going for certifications. And I found going through certifications also helps with staying relevant, you know, as you participate in community. For example, I'm working on a VCAP DCA. I'm hoping, you know, and you know, it might be a little bit of a transition at the moment with vSphere 5.5 and vSphere 6.0. And I know the 6.0 material is not available at the moment, but just, you know, working through those types of things. And I'm also working on Nutanix Platform Professional as well, to help me get a better understanding of the platform. Mm-hmm. So I know those types of things will also help keep us relevant in the discussions and the conversations when we do speak with community folks.
Well, the certification discussion is really important, and I personally think, and this is my own personal situation, I'm in a real decision point. Do I up the ante, right? Because I know that the certification deadline was extended in the VMware example, but
that's right.
You know, it's a different data center today, and I, you know, took the class right in VI3 era, and I uplifted my cert at each time. But you know what? It might be good if I went back. But do I really want to? Do I want to be the you know, do I want to go back to that type of role maybe, or have the skills, you know? And I have not pursued the VCAP myself. I personally don't think I'm smart enough, but maybe I am.
You are. Okay.
Thank you for that. But the certification bit, I think, is important. And basically, when you start identifying options, that's where I think the value comes in. You can have options of, okay, this is one way to do it. Oh, here's five more. People love options. And this is the real takeaway. A lot of times when I tell people stuff and what I do in community, I'm like, you know what? Don't listen to me. Give it a go yourself and make your own decision. And laying out these options, because the certifications expose you properly that way. Right.
Good point, Rick.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that it's important to have those options, and certifications are one way to do that. And sure, taking in the community is another. Mm-hmm. Reading a lot is another. Lab work is another. Mm-hmm. But just like the way I think, I rattled off four options. So I think that it's important to have it all. And, you know, dare I say, something to fall back on, right? If I did have to go out and be, you know, not that I wouldn't want to do it, it's just you get the taste of the community role. It's a pretty cool thing. And what we are in community today is it's a new slice of the business, right? Every brand has it. And we really have to work on making sure our technical prowess can be improved. And these are ways you can do it. Now, let me flip it around a little bit for the listeners out there. If you want to get involved in the community, you know, the community is at its heart about sharing things that make other people's lives easiest. And I think make it easier for us. And I think the best analogy is, especially those of us who have been in for a while, go back to, say, 2004, 2005, 2006, 7, and 8, where did you go to learn this virtualization thing? You went to the VMware Community's website.
Right.
And, you know, I have a problem. Chances are someone else has it too, or not necessarily a problem, right? It's, you know, that can be a support issue. But I have a challenge, or I want to do something. Tell me how to do it. What are you doing? Those types of things. Mm. Does this sound right? Is my design good? You know, sharing. And today, there's so many ways to share. Product forums, Twitter, very much a way to engage. Trying to think, what's another way that you find in your circles that people engage well?
Yeah, and you know, let me just add, it does feel at times like a fire hose. You know, as you mentioned, Twitter is an excellent source, as well as, you know, I subscribe to a bunch of RSS feeds, and you know, there's times when I don't look at it, and you know, I may have 3,000 items in a backlog, and I'm so, this is going to sound funny, I'm so afraid to hit mark all as read, because I have a feeling I just might miss something in that you know, pond of 3,000 items, so I need to go through them. You know, so a majority of things, you know, community sites, social media sites, Twitter in particular, I find very, very useful. I think it's very easy to get out a quick, tech note, or I just came across this, take a look at that. This might help someone. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. And then, you know, typically the RSS feeds are second, things I look at, and I don't really use, and I think it's not really geared for, but I don't really spend time on Facebook looking for stuff like, you know, support things. But mm-hmm. That RSS feed, man, I'm subscribed to a ton of blogs, and it's just like I said, at times it's just so much information that comes through. It's incredible. And like you said, you know, my number one goal is when I come across something useful, is to share it out to the mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the number one goal. And then you know, I'll read it for my own interest and my own, you know, to help me through an issue or give me an idea or something. But that's really the main goal, is to share it out, because I know, you know, if I came across and I find, you know, I think it might be useful, I think it might help someone else.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the best way to explain how I engage, and I was looking for a pen, but I'm like, heck, I'm just going to look on my phone. I'm going to walk through. This is how I engage. What's on the home screen of my phone? Twitter. But then I have Google Plus, but I'm actually just experimenting there. There is traffic there. It's just kind of odd and different. Instagram, different. LinkedIn actually is very efficient in my practice. Those are the big ones for me. But then also Spiceworks. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of discussions there. We also do a lot with Facebook, but that's very much promotional. Every now and then somebody asks a question, how to do something, you know. But I don't know if in your role, if you do like webinars and the like, or, you know, public facing stuff like that. Do you?
Yeah, we do webinars for folks. We also, you know, have a number of NDA type mm-hmm. webinars as well. But, you know, if I could, you know, I'm looking at my phone now as well. And you know, the first thing I see is Twitter. I see Feedly for my RSS feeds. I see my Instapaper, where I sometimes save things to. Mm-hmm. I see Instacast for my podcast that I listen to. So yeah, so you know, we're typically on the same page as you know, I'm typically on the same page as you in terms of, you know, getting information and then sharing it out to other folks.
And you know, I don't actually even use an RSS reader. I'm bad. Sorry. I can't take anything more in. But it's kind of funny when I do like a webinar or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody will send me a LinkedIn request, and that's normal, right? Oh, this guy knows this stuff. I'll link in. Or Facebook friend. That's fine, friends. I'm open on social. I don't care. But then every now and then I get somebody hit me on Instagram. I'm like, I just don't get that. Or the newest one, believe it or not, don't laugh, Pinterest. Somebody follow me on Pinterest. I'm like, oh goodness, where are these people coming from? I love it. Right. Don't get me wrong, guys, I do. But I just think it's funny because everyone has their own network. Not everyone uses Twitter. Not everyone uses all those different networks. So it's kind of cool how different people latch on in different ways. In fact, this podcast is about ready to cross a big milestone. I think this episode, Angelo, is going to push it over the 100,000 listens mark.
Wow, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Ridiculous. I know. I'm so stoked. So I think this one will do it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So those types of things, right, are important to me. And I always do my best to share, to engage with people in those networks. So that's one of the reasons why I can't really, you know, get on every network, because there's just so much, you know, I spend a lot of my day mostly Twitter, and then the other ones, of course. So it's an interesting space, and, you know, especially like when I talk to like my family and stuff, they understand I do computers. Okay, they got that much. All right, and then it's a little bit detailed. Like they get the backup part, right? They get that, and then they're like, oh, the virtual machines, all that VMware stuff. You know, they might not know exactly what that is, but they recognize the brand. But if I had to explain this community bit, man, that would be an interesting additional discussion, because these are roles that just didn't exist in business data center IT technology a few years ago. I mean, it truly 10 years ago just didn't exist, eh?
Right. You know, nowadays we're community span the globe, right? We connect over, you know, Google Hangouts, for example, with a bunch of people from all over the world. You know, if I could just quickly share the Virtual Design Master competition, the community competition for sysadmins and architects that myself and Eric Wright and Melissa Palmer put together. That community spans the globe. And you know, when we kicked it off, we were hoping just to get, you know, a few people in maybe the local area or in the United States. But, you know, season one's winner came from India. I mean, that community is across the globe, and it's incredible. And it's great to be able to share and connect with folks, help them, you know, work through any issues they have or any design questions they might have. You know, we had Renee, VCDX 133 as well, who, you know, jumped in and wanted to help with paying for the grand prize winner's VCDX defense and provide some mentoring. So, you know, this is all community activities pulling in, you know, as people start seeing and start engaging and start participating, because I think sometimes, you know, it's great to have, you know, a user conference where you get 500 people, but if those people don't feel like participating, if you will, if they're just there to consume, I don't think they'll get the most out of community. If they're willing to participate back and share and, you know, join in the conversation, I think that's where it's a win-win for everyone. That's why I always try to tell people, you know, at our local VMUGs, you know, ask any question you want. Don't worry about, you know, it. You think it's silly or you think your environment is too small, because whatever question you have, that's pertinent to you. It's important to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ask it, share it, and you know, let's all help out each other, improving and getting better at what we do and what we support and the businesses that we support. So yeah, I always don't want folks to be discouraged from asking questions, but I really, you know, the key is getting people to participate. And I find that once they get that taste, once they participate once, whether it's ask a question or, maybe at a coffee break, talk a little to the presenter. Once they get that taste, I find then they begin to participate more, and they say, "Hey, you know what? This isn't so bad. This is kind of cool. Let me get more engaged." You know, we had we had Mike Preston, one of the Toronto VMUG co-leaders.
I love Mike.
Yeah, Mike's great. We had him. He gave a presentation at our local VMUG about ways to get connected on social. And, you know, one of his first pieces of advice for folks, and it resonated with me, and he said, you know, guys, get on Twitter if you're not on Twitter, and don't worry in the beginning about, you know, contributing on Twitter. Just follow, you know, 50 people in the virtualization space and just start, you know, watching their conversations. And then as you get comfortable, start jumping into the conversation, start asking questions. And actually from that, it actually got a few people started. It had, you know, they opened up Twitter accounts, they got involved. We're seeing them now, you know, at the user conference, we saw a lot more Twitter activity than in previous events. So, it's exciting to participate. So I really encourage folks to participate.
So you touched on something very important, and I haven't hit it yet, you know, myself. I do want to interview maybe VMS on the podcast, but Virtual Design Master, friends, that is the coolest thing I've come across in a long time. What's the website for that, Angelo?
VirtualDesignMaster.com.
Oh my gosh, how did I not even guess? But I'm going to put notes to that in the podcast notes, friends. Really check that out. And you know what? Even if you just review some of the results, I guarantee you, you'll learn something. This is an excellent example of a way you can do the community thing, believe it or not, and still remain technical. So I need to pay some time over there, but I agree. It's very easy to get engaged with the community thing. And I really encourage you to do such if you're listening here on the podcast. So excellent stuff, Angelo. I already told you before we had the call, I got some trick questions for you. So I haven't done this for a while. Well, for one, I started to have some repeat guests, and we got into some longer form technical topics. In fact, the last one on solid state, I don't even remember I have to look it up. I'm so bad. It was the steady state performance phenomena with solid state drives. Whoa. I could not have that podcast standing up. It was pretty heavy stuff. Okay. But I haven't done this one in a while, Angelo. This is a segment of the podcast that I call Three Views from You. The podcast is, you know, it's not about Veeam. It's really about the community. And this part of the podcast is where I want to ask you a few things really about your career so that the listeners know a little bit more about you. And I'm going to ask you three questions, one based in the present, one based in the past, and the other one looking into the future. So let's start with the past. So Angelo, in your professional work experience, what's the most interesting thing you ever did or something you had go wrong or interesting story of any type that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'll see what I can do here because I wish I could say I built a rocket ship or something, but not really. But there was a time when, I was a Windows guy back in the day, and we had a Novell 411 shop, and the Novell guy had left, and our Novell 411 server needed one of its drives expanded. So I looked, manager comes down looking for someone to do it, and I looked to my left and there's no one there, and I looked to my right and there was no one there. So it fell on me to expand that thing. And I didn't know anything about Novell. I had no clue about Novell support or Novell, anything to do with Novell. So long story short, I spent days on websites back in the day on, you know, how to expand a drive, how to add additional space to a volume, and came in on the weekend all by myself. There was no one else around, no one else I could lean on for guidance or help. Mm-hmm. And I was able to actually expand a drive, expand the volume. So and back in those days, it was a compact server. So you can imagine those things were rock solid. But yeah, I was able to expand it. People came in Monday. I went in to the office early on Monday. In fact, if I recall correctly, I may have even gone in Sunday just just to see if the server was still up and running and okay. Went in early Monday and everything was fine. So that was super, super. It was, it may not be the most sexiest thing, but I felt like I was able to deliver on something for the department and for the business. That was our corporate file server. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if that was, if folks couldn't access a particular volume or if the server had crashed, that, you know, there'd be substantial downtime.
Well, the fact that it was so foreign to you, yeah. Right? I worked on, dating myself, you know, 3.12 and 3.2.
Oh.
You know, we didn't go to 4. We leaped over to NT at the time. But, you know, NetWare was a funky beast. And now, you know, the notion of expanding and rebooting is old hat. But with modern operating systems today, not that NetWare at the time wasn't modern. It's just it's a little bit easier today. In fact, NetWare was pretty awesome from a file server technology.
Yeah.
There are things today, friends. Come find me at a bar. I will place a bet and I will win. There are things that you can do with NetWare today that I don't know if I know Windows can't do. Maybe Linux or Unix. But did you know that they had a permission called delete only with NetWare?
No.
Oh, it was bizarre. You remember the flag command? Flag yes. command NetWare. And this is, by the way, you probably had to do this before you had Google. I just Googled as we talked here. I mean, they had so many commands that you could do. Let's see here, like a permission. You could flag, here's one, copy inhibit, prevent a file from being copied, but you could read it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Then they have this other permission. Let's see here. They had just so many positions. Rename inhibit. Now, that's pretty cool. These permissions you just don't have with other current file systems. Kind of miss it. How about today, though, Angelo? What's going on today that really drives you and you have the most passion?
Yeah, one thing really interesting – well, a couple things actually. But one thing I'm really interested in is in automation and orchestration. Software defined, if you will. I'm really into how, we have self-driving cars. So I'm not sure, why can't we have self-healing data centers? I'm not saying that to eliminate work or jobs for anyone, but it's just interesting how, you know, as we have more software defined and companies coming out with APIs and, you know, why can't, for example, if your network was being attacked, why couldn't your network automatically, for example, spin up a new subnet with some VMs as honeypots, for example, that can maybe redirect that. And some firewalls, and maybe redirect all those attacks, or add some more defenses in the network automatically, just through APIs and algorithms. For example, I wrote a blog post on my blog about algorithms plus APIs, and how it's, you know, to me it's almost like a learning organism sort of thing. That may be in the future. But that really has me really thinking, and as well as data visualization. I just love data. I just love presenting it in a meaningful way to help people understand what's going on, whether it's on the network, servers, storage, data. I'm really into that at the moment.
How about into the future? What's the most longer term, exciting thing, technology wise that you have your hopes on or you're looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I really want to see, and it goes back to what I just mentioned. I would really like to see as much as possible, but a sort of hands off data center, if you will, where it actually. And maybe, you know, people might argue, well, we already have that with cloud and places like AWS, et cetera. But more of a, you know, elastic just spawns new environments as needed, based on its own calculations, its own algorithms. That kind of stuff really, really intrigues me, for future outlook?
Well, it will do nothing but go up and grow and become more. I mean, the data center technologies, my phrase is, I like to just say that there's going to be more stuff, you know. That's the Internet of Things, really. And then It all is driven back from intelligence in a data center. I'm excited. It's good stuff. All right, Angelo, I got your Twitter earlier. I'm going to put that in the podcast notes, everyone. I encourage you to check out this guy in Virtual Design Master. I'll put a link to that as well. Angelo, I really appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.